Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Tuesday, August 16th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Before we get started today, we have to let everyone know that tomorrow there's not going to be a show. Lisa's going to be out of town for the morning and a good part of the afternoon. So today's show is going to be on till Thursday. Mm-hmm. Now, hopefully she'll be back in time to do Rick Viesada's radio interview with me late tomorrow afternoon. Yep. He's out of Chicago. And, you know, hopefully I won't have to fly solo on that one. Also, we want to say a big thank you to Kiti Awadu.
Oh, yeah.
Whose radio show, he does the LIB radio network out in Inglewood, California.
He had us
on this morning, and he's just a fantastic guy. And then also this week on Thursday, we're going to have probably the most famous political prisoner out there, or former political prisoner, Mordecai Vanunu. And then on Friday, we're going to have the host of From the Grassy Knoll,
Visigoth.
Who's just another phenomenal guy. He's got an excellent show. Right. So
now
what we're going to do is format the show just like we did yesterday. Mm-hmm. First, we're going to have a report from Crawford, Texas, and then we're going to go into our regularly scheduled guests. So right now on the line, we have Tom Stoneburner, a guy mm-hmm. who we met out in Oklahoma City, and he's lectured at various sites around the country and just an all-around good guy. So, Tom, welcome to Wing TV.
Hi, Tom.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Now, everyone got a taste of what you were doing down there yesterday mm-hmm. when we ran your article about Mike Gallagher on the Wing TV homepage. And I listened to Gallagher's show yesterday, and he was saying how the people that were reporting about him weren't giving an accurate portrayal of what he was doing. What were your impressions of Gallagher and this busload of rent-a-protesters?
Well, Victor, I heard Mike Gallagher on a show as I was driving around Temple, Texas. And he mentioned he's put together this supposedly impromptu bus tour there, some, you know, calling it his name at a pro-American or pro-troops rally.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that a talk show host is going to risk his credibility on a spur-of-the-moment bus trip, you might get 5 or 10 people, perhaps. You know, I'll sell you oceanfront property in Arizona. But it's probably planned and canned days or weeks in advance.
Right.
Said they were going to be there at 5. I think it was closer to probably 6 or later in the evening when they actually showed up. It might have been perhaps 50 people. I believe they gave them all cheap American flags. They're probably made in China.
Uh-huh.
Planned and canned. He had his camera people there. He had the interview set up. He was doing hot pieces for people to document. They didn't stay much more than an hour. It was pretty disgusting. One of the points I mentioned in the brief article was he said that in regard to accusations of President Bush lying, he led the group of his rent-a-protesters and chants of "We don't care." You know, even if you disagree and believe that President Bush didn't lie, it's still a serious charge that he's examining. You don't say things like "We don't care" when the mother of a son that lost his life in Iraq is there.
Right.
But you know, Tom, it's easy for him not to care because his 4 sons are sitting home safe and sound. That's why he doesn't care.
Just as President Bush's hard-drinking, hard-partying daughters mm-hmm. are getting cush make-work jobs,
right.
His friends' connections, you know, Mike Gallagher's children are off the living life of privilege, while the poor children are of regular folks are over there digging fighting holes and foxholes in Iraq.
Fighting and dying, right. So were the groups separated? Gallagher's people versus Cindy Sheehan's people, were they kept separated?
At Camp Casey, there is a triangle of a grassy area in the middle, and on one side you have the tents and areas for the anti-war protests. Actually, they're the pro-American protesters, mm-hmm. had their camp set up. And on another angle, another leg of the triangle, Gallagher's bus pulled in and dropped off his protesters. They weren't forcibly kept separate, but I think Mike was looking for a confrontation, and when it didn't show up, that's when they decided to leave after about an hour.
Oh, very interesting.
The original plan was to take their cheap American flags and hand them to the pro-American protesters, the anti-war people, and hoping that the anti-war people would throw them down or cause a ruckus.
Uh-huh.
They realized that the anti-war folks were calm and peaceful and had reasons for being there. Suddenly, he called that idea off because it wouldn't give the hope for a confrontation.
Yeah. Now, we've been listening to a lot of talk radio, and it's understandable that people on the right would come out against Cindy Sheehan, but it also seems like now we even heard somebody on a rock and roll station this morning, two of the DJs talking badly about Cindy Sheehan. What do you attribute that to?
Well, Victor, both hands are dirty in this war. Republicans, Democrats, whatever you call yourself, liberal, conservative, especially Kerry sort of coming out to the war and sort of coming out against it.
Mm-hmm.
Both parties had played a hand in this, and both parties are allowing it to continue. I think it's the self-defense mechanism, the psychological motive, that if your hands are dirty in something, to make yourself feel better, you have to place the blame on the people that are exposing
you.
As a former military man, how do you relate to what's going on in Crawford? I know you helped plant white crosses there for Casey Sheehan and all the fallen soldiers.
Well, I was privileged enough to get there early at a point where I could help plant some of those crosses, some of those men that gave their lives for a war based on lives. I served 5 years in the Marine Corps at the Camp Pendleton, and a month or two ago I received an email from one of my Marines that served with me, and he went over there shortly after September 11th. They were on floats, and they were actually in that area or close to it when it happened. He told me that it was a garbage. There were no weapons of mass destruction. He felt terrible. After he got back, he forced him to turn to drugs because of what he's done over there based on nothing but illusions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, did this war hurt one of my friends, one of my Marines? It's incumbent upon myself, everyone involved, do what they can. Bring this to an end.
Yeah, well, that's very well said. One last question, Tom. In the newspaper the other day, this is what it said George Bush has been doing while Cindy Sheehan was out in the ditch 2 miles from his house. It said he's been attending Little League baseball games, said he's been taking naps,
fishing,
doing some fishing, and then also reading some books, which we find hard to believe. What's your assessment of George Bush and this whole debacle?
Well, hopefully the book wasn't upside down, and it wasn't about a pet goat.
Yeah.
But he's a casual person. I don't think he's as dumb as they try to portray him. It's part of his shtick. You know, he's not a cowboy. He's about 99 or so when he bought the ranch. You don't just up and decide to buy a ranch and you're an Eastern Establishment blue blood type.
Uh-huh.
He's a staged photo op, same as the Gallagher rent protest. He wanted it to look like a cowboy or a Texan, and help build the cowboy image.
His image, yeah.
George Bush, all hat, no cattle.
Yeah. Well, Tom, keep up the good work down there. And if you go back to Crawford,
right,
like we believe you are, maybe we'll have you on again next week for another update, and we just can't thank you enough for what you're doing out there.
Very much so.
You're an example of what we tell everybody who watches Wing TV to do, to become active and go out and get their feet on the ground.
So, and we're really proud of you, too.
Right. So thank you very much.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks,
you
Tom.
Too,
take
Tom.
Care, okay? Bye-bye. All right, now we're going to call Hesham Talawi.
That guy is so great. He copies DVDs and videotapes of people like Bill Cooper and others and sends them out to people, doesn't charge them for them, just spreading the word as much as he can to anyone he can. In OKC, he was instrumental in getting
Hesham.
Our photos. Oh, here we go.
Hi, it's Victor and Lisa. You're live on Wing TV. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Hi, Hesham. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Yeah. Before we hop into things, this is Hesham Talawi. He's the host of an online television show called Current Issues TV, which can be found at currentissues.tv. He's been having some fantastic guests on.
Mm-hmm.
I know Michael Collins Piper was one of them. And, Hesham, what we're going to talk about today is this historic pullout in Gaza. And we know that yesterday, the eviction notices were posted on all the houses of those Israeli settlers. Tomorrow is the deadline for them to evacuate. What do you expect from those people who defy the Israeli government and refuse to pull out?
Well, let's just take a look at the bigger picture and see what this all means, the pullout. Number one, the Gaza pullout. If, you know, you called it historic, it is historic in a way that this is the first time that Israel pulls out of an Arab territory, basically because they probably had to. Let's remember that this pullout is benefiting the Israelis more than it is benefiting the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, Israel wanted to get out of Gaza for a long time. In the 80s, Rabin said he wished he would wake up one morning and find Gaza sunk in the sea. remember that these settlers, there's only 8,000 settlers in Gaza amongst about 1.5 million Palestinians. And so it was not a significant amount of number of people living in Gaza, Jewish people living in Gaza. And let's also remember that 70% of the Palestinians living in Gaza are refugees. Those are people who were kicked out of their homeland.
That's right.
In 1948. So 70% of these people living in Gaza, they live in refugee camps. And also, it is not really, you know, pulling out of Gaza. It's benefiting the Israelis in one way that they don't have to spend the money controlling Gaza. They don't have to spend a huge amount of money just securing the, these 8,000 settlers.
Okay.
So, in a way, it is good that they're moving. At least the Palestinians will bring a sigh of relief. But also, let's remember, they're not leaving. They still control the sea, control the air. They still control the borders. So Gazans are basically in a huge prison.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're not going to be liberated overnight. So let's not really read too much into that.
Okay. Palestinians, while they welcome this pullout, they fear that this is just a ruse for Sharon to keep control of Israel's most of the West Bank. So is it a ploy, or is it really a step toward peace?
Well, it's not a step towards peace, and Sharon knows it. Now, they, you see, this is also another thing. This is, you can take a look at it and say, this is the seed of Zionism, the Zionist ideology. If you remember that the Zionist ideology wanted, I mean, it's their national anthem, that Israel will be on both sides of the Jordan River, which includes Jordan. And they had to realize that, you know what, we cannot accomplish this. So we need to just accept from the River Jordan going west. So that is still, and it's still on their, I mean, the Likud platform, it still says that Israel will be from the River Jordan to the sea.
Yeah. Now, there's 55...
Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to... well, what is happening now is it's a disappointment for Zionists and Zionism. And to me, I think it's the beginning of the end for Zionism because the Zionist idea did not work.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened with Zionists, with the Zionist idea is, number one, they wanted to get all Jews into Palestine and have Israel. Well, that did not work because we have more Jews in the United States than we do have in Israel.
Uh-huh.
Now, we have, Hashem, we have 55, or the Israelis have 55,000 troops and policemen expected to be there for this pullout. This is a massive operation, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it is a massive operation. I think it's more the media is playing it. You know, like I said, it's a massive operation to show the world that they are really moving out of Gaza. But the thing is, what Lisa has alluded to is, what is going to happen now? Is this like a plot from Sharon that he is going to keep the West Bank? And I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to say, okay, Palestinians, you can have your independent state in Gaza, and you can have these cities that are already surrounded by the wall, but it's going to be under our control. You can have your autonomy in those cities that are actually prison.
Right. Okay. The average settler family can expect to receive a very generous compensation package that includes removal expenses, 2 years of free rent, redundancy compensation, a bonus of $30,000 if the family stays put in a community that's being established for it, and farmers are going to get even more money than that. So how does this very generous compensation package compare or contrast to what the kind of deal the Palestinians have been offered over the last three decades?
Well, of course, we are here in the States, we're paying for all those compensations.
Mm-hmm.
And we are paying for the settlers to live. These people don't even work. These people are there. They've been there for decades just to live, just to kind of hold the land until something happens, until they kill all the Palestinians or something. But that did not work because what's happening, and this is also a reason why the Israeli leadership came into this conclusion that, number one, this is, we don't need to forget that what really caused this whole thing, well, not this whole thing, but part of it is the Palestinian resistance in the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
The so-called Palestinian violence has contributed greatly to Israel's decision of believe in Gaza, and that's in their own. Listen to this, and this is came from one of their leaders. He's saying that Israel has long had little respect for Palestinians as fighters, but that has changed. Also, the fact that hundreds of them are willing to blow themselves up is significant. He said, we did not give them any credit before. In spite of our being the strongest military power in the Middle East, we lost 1,200 people.
Yeah.
Now, Israel has lost 1,200 people against the Palestinians who are, you know, when you speak of the Palestinian resistance, it's basically people with no arms fighting people with F-16s and tanks and big bulldozers, killing them, assassinating them every day. But they wanted to break the will of the Palestinians. That did not happen. So the Palestinian resistance has a lot of credit to do with Israel's decision of leaving Gaza.
Now, we know that Benjamin Netanyahu and others of the right wing are starkly opposed to this pullout. What effect do you think this is going to have on Ariel Sharon?
It's not, they're all the same party. Netanyahu is playing the politics card. All he's doing, he's going to run next time, so this is not going to play at all. This is politics as usual. Okay. Netanyahu himself believes, as do the Likud leaders, that they could not keep Gaza. There's no way. It was costing them so much, and there was a headache for them. They had to get out, and Netanyahu would have been the first one to do it before Sharon.
Israel expects that this pullout will mark an end to UN hostility toward Israel, namely the litany of anti-Israel UN resolutions that are passed every single year. In other words, no more Israel bashing. Do you see the UN smiling more upon Israel after this pullout is over?
No, actually what's happening, you know, the decision to pull out is a decision that was based on different factors played in it. Number one, like I said, the Palestinian resistance. Number two, the cost that it was costing them. Number three, we are losing in the world opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The Israelis are losing big time.
Right.
Look at their numbers in the polls that are coming out of Europe. Even in the United States, they know, you see, they plan ahead. They know that the American people are going to figure out what their Zionist agenda against the United States itself. And they're going to wake up and say, you know what? To heck with this. And the Israelis know this, that it's going to be one day that they will not get the support from the United States. So they wanted to basically, you see, they wanted to have a Jewish state. They could not have a Jewish state and still be in Gaza or the West Bank. So now they have to deal with it. Do we want a democracy or do we want to have a Jewish state? Of course they want to have a Jewish state. A democracy will not work because their numbers, for the first time last week, and this information came from last week, for the first time, the Jews are below 50%, and when you combine the West Bank, Gaza, and Israel, their numbers are below 50%. And they know 20 years from now, this status quo could not go on, and they will lose at the end. So they are planning ahead. Number one, their popularity is going down in the United States, and therefore in about 10 years or 15 years or maybe sooner, you're going to see most of the people in the United States saying, to heck with this, we don't want to give Israel any money. And we saw what happened a week ago when they actually, 94% of American people said, we don't want to give money to help Israel leave Gaza.
Yeah. Now, Hesham, some people have said that this pullout from Gaza is nothing more than a pretext to spare Israeli citizens danger in the future from certain conflicts, either with the Palestinians or maybe even with an Iranian war. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think they're going to have an Iranian war with Israel. I think they are going... No, that's... My thought is that's completely a ridiculous statement. And Israel is not going to have a war with Iraq. They're going to use the United States to do that, just like
do the dirty work,
with
yeah.
Iraq.
The anti-withdrawal protesters seem to be using tactics similar to Palestinian protesters in the Intifada, throwing rocks at the tanks and whatnot. Has Israel ever seen this kind of domestic battle before? Jew against Jew?
Not really, not to this extent. And also you have to understand that most of those settlers are Americans, actually. Most of them, 90% of those settlers that are playing this protest, and maybe they know that they could not do this, but they have to show the world that they're really, you know, this was rough for them to do. You know, they don't want to resettle them in the West Bank. They're already resettling them in the West Bank.
Mm-hmm.
So life, much, they had it made. So this is just a, they're being pushed and pressurized by the American Christian right and Zionists. That's who are fueling this protest.
Yeah. Last question, Hashem. We know that a couple weeks ago, Israel requested $2.2 billion from the United States to pay for this pullout. That would have averaged out to about $250,000 per household for the people that had to resettle. What is the United States' thoughts on this pullout, and where do we stand in the future now with them?
Well, I mean, you asked me, well, with the United States. The United States has no mind of its own. The United States does what the Zionist regime in Israel and what actually the Zionist regime in the United States tells it to do. We have to understand, this interview was not supposed to be about Gaza. It was supposed to be about what do I think as a Palestinian. And this is, to answer your question, I'm going to take a minute to basically say what the interview was going to take place, what was going to be all about. I came here from Palestine, and I found out that over here in the United States, we are just in a bad or worse shape than the Palestinians. We are occupied by Zionists. Mm-hmm. We're occupied by the Israelis. And it's like I was trying to explain to the American people the plight of the Palestinians, and then I found out that really the American people cannot even help us because we are in a worse shape. At least the Palestinians know who the enemy is.
That's right. At least the Palestinians are fighting.
It's a big gun. And right. The Americans, they don't know that. They control the United States, and it's time that American people take it upon themselves to liberate America, because America is controlled by Zionists, and it's going to remain that way until the average American person, man, woman, whatever, get out there and do something about it. Otherwise, it will not happen. We will continue to be occupied by the Zionist regime.
Very well said.
The United States doesn't think. The United States just do what the
Zionists
tell it to do.
Right. Well, if anybody wants to hear more from Hashem, go to www.currentissues.tv. His show broadcasts, I believe, every Thursday. Is that correct?
Every Thursday night at 8 o'clock Central from 8 to 10. And also there is like a rerun 4 times. But anyone... You can see it on the internet, www.currentissues.tv, anytime you want.
Yeah. Well, Hashem, thanks for taking some time out to be with us today, and just keep up the great work out there.
We're doing what we can do, Hashem, to raise awareness about what's going on in Palestine and what's been happening to the Palestinian people. They have our total support.
Thank you very much. And one thing before I go, forget about Palestine, liberate America.
Very good.
Yeah, no kidding.
Very good. Well, we'll be back on Thursday with Wing TV with Mordecai Vanunu, and we'll be off tomorrow. But if you can, tune in to Rick Biasada's Angry White Male radio show out of Chicago. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you then.